For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levakin. An Eastern Virginia Democratic congressman is pushing to raise the federal minimum wage, but Western Virginia Republican Congressman Ben Klein is against it. An intern for a Valley Republican delegate apologizes for spying on the ERA campaign. And a new report looks at the dangers of industrial contaminants to communities from Covington to Hampton Roads when the James River floods. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 7th. A proponent of the Equal Rights Amendment claims that a former intern for House Majority Leader Todd Gilbert tried to infiltrate the pro-ERA campaign last month. The Daily News Record reports that Katie Horning, campaign coordinator for VA Ratify ERA, claims that Kyle Ford used a disguised Twitter account to gain information about the group. Gilbert, a Republican who represents the 15th District in the Shenandoah Valley, said he did not know of or direct any of his staffers to attempt any contact with the VA Ratify ERA campaign. But he is a fierce opponent of the ERA. The newspaper reports that Ford, the intern, responded in an email with an apology to Gilbert and said what he did was, quote, an impulsive decision I regret. The General Assembly rejected efforts to raise the minimum wage in Virginia this year, but now Congress is considering raising the federal minimum wage. One Democratic congressman from Virginia is leading that effort, but 6th District Republican Ben Klein is opposed, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
For states like Virginia, the prospect of raising the minimum wage would have way more impact than in states that have a locally higher minimum wage than the federal minimum. That's one of the reasons why Congressman Bobby Scott, a Democrat from Newport News, is using his new position as chairman of the Education and Labor Committee to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Whereas the recent $1.5 trillion tax bill gave the largest benefits to those who needed it the least, this bill puts money directly in the hands of those who not only need it, but are also most likely to spend it in their communities.
Scott's bill would also tie the minimum wage to the median hourly wage. Scott says that would take the politics out of it. But Republican Congressman Ben Klein of Western Virginia says that would be a terrible idea.
You're going to have a wage that is just wreaking havoc across wide swaths of industry being forced to lay off employees. If you have high unemployment in specific regions of the country, this is going to automatically trigger increases in the minimum wage, and employers are going to be hit hardest.
If Congress fails to take action by this summer, it'll be the longest period without an increase to the minimum wage since it was created during the New Deal in the 1930s. I'm Michael Pope.
On Wednesday, the 7th District Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger urged passage of legislation to, quote, end special interest money in American politics, from partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
At a news conference, she said she was part of a new generation of lawmakers with a mandate to clean up corruption in Washington. And H.R. 1, which she co-sponsored, would be a good start.
Our legislation would help limit the influence of special interests in our politics, stop big contributors from hiding their political spending, keep foreign dollars out of our elections, and strengthen oversight of our campaign finance laws.
H.R. 1 is the very first bill newly empowered House Democrats introduced to, as they put it, stamp about the influence of money in politics. It is given little chance of passing in a Republican-controlled Senate, but Spanberger and her colleagues say campaign spending reform needs to be brought to the table. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
After the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in 2017, then-Governor Terry McAuliffe put in place emergency regulations around a state-owned Confederate monument in Richmond. As Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, the state is now considering making those regulations permanent.
Any group larger than 10 needs a permit to gather on the green space around the Lee Monument in Richmond. The regulations also close the monument overnight and ban signs or posters. Catherine Jordan, a nearby resident, says those rules made sense in the wake of August 12th when things were really tense. But now, it's been a year and a half.
The climate we're in now is not the same as when the emergency regulations were made. I think these regulations go too far. They impede freedom of assembly.
Bill Farah with the ACLU of Virginia agrees. He says the regulations are overly restrictive.
Localities are going to have to struggle with the same issue. How do we permit? How do we balance public safety and the right to free expression?
Part of the issue is that the Lee Monument is at a busy intersection in the middle of a residential neighborhood. But as Farah points out, the statue doesn't have to be there.
The governor has the authority to remove it and do anything he wants with that property if he deems that it is not needed.
In an interview after the recent blackface scandal, Governor Ralph Northam told the Washington Post he is willing to take a harder line on Confederate statues. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Finally today, late last month in Richmond, the James River flooded to more than 16 feet, its highest level since 2010. A new report looks at another danger to communities when the James floods, contaminants from industrial areas along the river. Virginia Public Radio's Pamela DeAngelo reports.
Climate change is hitting communities along the James River from the tiny city of Covington down to the industrial cities of Hampton Roads with increased flooding. But it's industrial areas next to the most vulnerable neighborhoods that concerns David Flores, a policy analyst who co-authored the Center for Progressive Reform report, Toxic Floodwaters.
Low-income communities, minority communities, other communities that are particularly vulnerable to disaster. We found hundreds of industrial facilities that are exposed to flooding and that are likely to use or store hazardous chemicals on site.
The Hampton Roads region, where flooding is a recurring problem, has already been working on climate change adaptation. Whitney Katchmark manages the Water Resources Program for the Hampton Roads District Planning Commission.
We realize that there is a lot more work to be done on that front. Across the board, we're trying to look at all of our infrastructures and hazards and say, let's try to get ahead of the game.
The report makes recommendations to communities and state regulators on how to move forward in helping those people who are less likely to have means of adapting or evacuating during a toxic flood emergency. I'm Pamela DeAngelo.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Thursday.